two stops on their fall music and arts tour this weekend. On Friday, they will be at their Room 203 space at the Old Central School in Grand Rapids, part of the First Friday Art Walk. Then on Saturday, they will be at Headwaters Music and Arts in Bemidji. Concerts with Humphrey are both days at 7 p.m., with additional arts events and gathering time during the day. The theme for the fall tour is the Warriors and the Powerless. One More Show is the latest in the Grassroots Concert Series in Nisswa. Folk singer Kelly Hunt is playing at 7 p.m. Friday night. Based in New Orleans, Hunt's music draws from a wide range of influences, like the classic folk of Joni Mitchell, blues of Mississippi John Hurt, and even classical composers. It's Kelly Hunt this Friday at the Journey Church in Nisswa. The set list is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
And you are tuned in to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota.
Programming is supported in part by Minsure, offering Minnesotans the opportunity to find discounts, compare private health plans, and see if they qualify for no-cost or low-cost insurance. Expert advice is also available. The enrollment deadline for December 18th for coverage starting January 1st. Information and enrollment online at mnsure.org.
Chance of rain showers and flurries early today. Cloudy skies, highs 35 to 40. Overnight tonight, 16 to 24 degrees.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. Library and museum funding updates were first on the Beltrami County Board of Commissioners work session agenda Tuesday. Citizens, some dressed as their favorite books or literary characters, turned out in support of the Bemidji Public Library, which may be facing a drastic reduction in hours and staff next year due to budget cuts. Melissa Watley with the Kitchigami Regional Library System offered the Beltrami County Board an alternative to the 40% reduction to Bemidji and Black Duck's libraries.
We would like to request and propose a meet me halfway option with the Beltrami County Board.
Kitchigami's proposal includes releasing some of its reserves for offsetting levy requests in exchange for Beltrami County increasing the budget to the library by $81,000. The county budgeted nearly $438,000 for Beltrami County's libraries in the Kitchigami system in 2025, but reduced that to $265,000 for next year, which is considered the minimum maintenance of effort to participate in a regional library system. Regional libraries are required to operate at least 20 hours per week. Since Black Duck's library only operates 21 hours a week, Watley says most of the cuts will be felt at the Bemidji branch. The preliminary county budget set in September also cuts the $7,500 in funding to the Beltrami County History Museum. That cut represents about 10% of the center's annual operating budget. But the museum has since secured a private donation to cover the difference. Executive Director Emily Thaves also shared a major grant announcement.
For the very first time that we have secured private grant funding for the complete redesign of our permanent exhibits.
The Beltrami County Historical Society is seeking advisory committee members for the project, with interested people encouraged to apply by November 30th. County Administrator Tom Berry says expected cost shifts from state and federal sources are forcing all departments to make adjustments.
We're going without police vehicles. We're reducing our staff. We're reducing all of these things as an operation. And the board had made a decision with these budget principles and priorities that we're going to have to constrain our budget to work within our means and focus the limited resources we have on the county.
Beltrami County will host its annual Truth and Taxation hearing at 6 p.m. on December 2nd, where members of the public can comment on the proposed budget and levy. Hundreds packed into Forest View Middle School in Baxter on Saturday, largely to oppose MnDOT's plans for the Highway 371 overpass of Highway 210. The Brainerd Dispatch reports many are concerned with a proposed button hook design, which includes five new roundabouts and two bridges. Attendees told MnDOT engineers and the Baxter City Council that they are worried about business access, the main business district's economy, and the character of the city. The design is MnDOT's preferred option for the complicated intersection of two busy highways, railroad tracks, and frontage roads. Those opposed say the proposed design would make Baxter feel more like the Twin Cities, not the gateway to the lakes area it aims to be. Business owners express concern over construction impacts and future access, and community members say the project is designed around tourist traffic that only affects the area in the summer. The Baxter City Council has 90 days to approve or deny MnDOT's plan. The City of Walker announced it is accepting applications to fill a vacancy on its City Council. The Walker City Council accepted the resignation of fellow member Char Moore last month. The Walker City Council members have four-year terms, and Moore began her most recent term in January. On its official Facebook page, the City of Walker says the appointed council member would serve until December 2026. A special election would then select a candidate to fill the remaining 2 years of the term. Requirements include being a qualified city voter who is at least 21 years old and a resident of the city for at least 30 days. Walker City Council members earn a $600 monthly stipend. Interested Walker residents can apply online or by stopping into Walker City Hall before noon on November 26th. That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories and photos at KAXE.org, where you can also find content from our music, phonology, and morning show teams. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
7:06, you're listening to the Friday Morning Show. Coming up, we're going to get the latest installment of StoryCorps. Pull out your hankies. There's times when I feel very old, and that's a moment right now when I say hanky, because I don't think people quite say that. I'm Heidi Alton with Jennifer Barr this Friday morning. We're hearing from a couple of sisters who are remembering their mother. And I love, there's an element of it about her matching lipstick to everything she wears. Lipstick was such, was your mom a lipstick person?
Not really. I think maybe sometimes, but my grandma, yes.
Yeah, like couldn't leave the house without lipstick.
Right.
Yeah, that's what my mom.
Always had it in her purse.
Yep, my mom was mortified that I didn't wear lipstick, and you know, like, you could at least put some lipstick on. And I'm like, no, if I'm gonna put makeup on, not gonna put lipstick on.
I think that stands out more, like, than anything.
I've never been a lipstick person. In fact, I once in a while, if it's something fancy, I think, oh, I should try some lipstick, and I don't know. I don't quite understand.
Like in eighth grade, I used to do this stuff that like came in like a tube, like that had a little stick that was like colored, like it was like pink and kind of shiny, like a lip gloss kind of thing.
I do have my Dr. Pepper lip smacker.
Oh yes, lip smacker is a whole different story.
I mean, I still have, my cousin gave me one. I have it in my purse, and it has a little bit of a red tint because it's Dr. Pepper. So that's about as much as she and I can take in terms of lipstick, because her mother is the same to her, and she's not a lipstick person.
I remember the orange lip smacker, like orange soda, I think.
Yeah.
That was very,
There was a 7-Up one, I think, too, which is odd. But it's an interesting thing, whether you're a lipstick person or not. I can kind of remember the smell of both my mom and grandma's, like the smell of them putting on the fresh lipstick.
Yes. And then also in my grandma's purse, she always had, I don't know if she got them from Avon or what, but like these little tubes of perfume that like rub on, like
rollerballs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it was like a stick, like chapstick.
Oh, nice.
But it was perfume.
I love a little perfume.
And it was
like
the tube was like all flower printed and pretty.
Hope you're having a good morning. You can always join our conversation. You know, who isn't dying to get into a lipstick conversation, right? You can text us 218-326-1234. Today you have choices. You can talk lipstick or deer hunting.
Yeah, that's our main question of the week. Is so very, very different things. But
And we heard from Bill from Afton Home for Wayward Youth. And but we, as Jennifer and I were talking about reading, he loves This Tenderland by W.K. Kruger, William Kruger, set in 1932 Minnesota. Good reminder. Thanks, Bill. William Kruger's stuff is great.
Yeah. I'm not really like a mystery person, because he's got all of those. But
Cork O'Connor.
Yeah. But I've really enjoyed his other books.
Yeah. I wasn't so much. It was honestly the pandemic when I dove in deep to all of that stuff. Well, you read Maisie Dobbs, though. I consider that a mystery.
Maisie Dobbs. I just feel like the Cork O'Connor, it's a little darker. Maybe I mean, I haven't tried them. Maybe I should.
Yeah, it's not so much. And it's sometimes I like, you know, it's again that thing. No, I'm not trying to deride any author because there's so much work that would go into a book. But some mysteries, it's like it doesn't have to be the best writing if they keep the pace going and everything. Mm-hmm. William Kent Kruger is like literary and a mystery that keeps the pace going. The writing is really good, you know, and it's an interesting storyline. And it's not one, like, you don't have to start the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know sometimes with those like series, it feels overwhelming to be like, I got to read all of these books.
Right. There you go. We'd love a book recommendation as well, or lipstick. 218-326-1234.
Support comes from Headwaters Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Bemidji, gathering at 10 a.m. Sundays now through May at the Headwaters Peace Center. Offers an inclusive space to seek truth, practice love, and celebrate life. Learn more at headwatersuu.org.
A lot of things going on in our region. Later this morning, we'll be talking about First Friday events in Grand Rapids with Katie Marshall from the McCrosty Art Center. And don't forget, we mentioned this tailgate pantry tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m. in the parking lot of the Paul Bunyan Mall near Hobby Lobby. Bemidji community members putting it on. You can bring or take shelf-stable food or hygiene items.
And happening this afternoon, local author Candace Simar will celebrate the release of her latest book, Montana Matrimonial News. That is today, 1 to 3 at the Brainerd Public Library. She'll give a short talk at 1:30.
The Itasca Ski and Outing Club has a grand opening for its new Minnesota Ski Jumping Museum, and that is tomorrow from noon to 4 at Mount Itasca near Coleraine. You can see historic artifacts and learn about local champions and Olympians.
And Watermark Art Center in Bemidji opens their annual It's Only Clay exhibit today, reception from 5 to 7, awards and presentations at 5:30, and you can see that exhibit through December 23rd.
Coming up, more from Morning Edition and then local news with Marshall Helmberger from the Timberjay newspaper.
Time now for StoryCorps. Shanita Baraka Akintondo Day and Danielle Tavon Bishop are sisters who grew up in Chicago in the 80s. They came to StoryCorps to remember their mother, Mary Catherine Bishop, known to family and friends as Cat.
She was born in Brinkley, Arkansas, which I call Blinkley, because if you blink, you'd miss it. She had dark ebony skin, bright brown eyes, and white teeth. She painted her nails dark maroons, and her lipstick matched that. And I remember when she kissed me.
It left the lipstick print on you.
Yeah, it left that lipstick print. I loved it. Mom didn't give two flying hoots whether you agreed with her. She was going to say what she wanted to say. And if you got with it, great. If you didn't, peace. She would tell you the same story.
But a different spin on it.
It would be a different spin every time. And you did not interrupt her and say,
oh, no.
Mom, I've heard that story before, right?
Absolutely not.
I'd literally studied everything from how she walked to how she talked because I thought she was amazing.
The year before her passing, it was Thanksgiving, and she took me in the kitchen. She told me specifically, this is my last year cooking. So you need to learn how to do this. And I remember we stayed up to the early morning laughing, having a good time. And that was our last Thanksgiving.
On her last days, she was in the hospital at this point, going in and out of consciousness. She said, take me home and make my room look like heaven. So what we did was paint the walls a beautiful mauve color, like a sunset. We made sure with the pillows that they were fluffed properly and that the sheets popped. When she came home, she looked around and smiled. I just wanted to savor that moment because I knew that meant she was happy with what we had done. She told us to get her two things.
Two drinks.
Mm-hmm.
The sherry and the beer. In a bottle.
Not a can. And I said, you can't have that. You're on medication.
And remember the look she gave you?
She gave me the look, and I said, I'll be right back. I don't even know if she swallowed it. She just brought it up to her lips. And that night, she passed.
The next year, that was my first Thanksgiving, and all of the family came over to my home, and I tried to channel all that I could of my mom. And now I feel like her hands come on top of me as I'm preparing the meals.
You know, Mom, she was my first real role model. And I think I'm still evolving into being half the woman she was.
That's Shanita Baraka Akintande and Danielle Tavon Bishop. Their mother, Mary Catherine Bishop, died in 2012. Their conversation is part of the StoryCorps Brightness is in Black project. It's archived at the Library of Congress.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from Subaru, featuring the 2026 Subaru Crosstrek Wilderness with off-road capability and 9.3 inches of ground clearance designed for adventure seekers. Learn more at subaru.com/wilderness. And from Dignity Memorial. For many families, remembering loved ones means honoring the details that made them unique. Dignity Memorial is dedicated to compassion in every detail of a life celebration. DignityMemorial.com.
This is NPR News.
Morning Edition here on People Powered KAXE. I'm Heidi Holton with Jennifer Barr. We've been talking about a lot of things today, hearing stories of remembering a mom and books. We just heard from Dana, who's listening in. She said when people ask her if she's read a book, she giggles and she says, "I don't read. It's too sedentary, LOL, especially fiction. But when I read Pope Joan, I audibly yelled in sadness, LOL. It is so good." And that's a book we looked up to see what it was.
Yeah, it's a novel by Donna Woolfolk Cross based on the medieval legend of Pope Joan.
Yeah. Oh, she audibly, she must be talk texting because I do this all the time, Dana, so no worries. I audibly yelled when I finished reading it, she said.
Ah, okay.
Got it. Huh. Interesting to hear from folks what they are reading, what they enjoy reading or don't enjoy reading. You can text 218-326-1234.
Support for KAXE comes from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
Chance of rain showers and flurries early today. Cloudy skies, 35 to 40 with north winds 5 to 10, gusting up to 20. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows 16 to 24. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly sunny, highs 30 to 34 degrees. I did... First thing of the season, I put something in the crock pot before I left today.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do that very often. And I bought a little turkey breast for some reason. Turkey sounded good, but not an entire turkey.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I kind of go through, I'm not a usual crock pot person, like put it on in the morning and have it have food later. So
yeah.
Do you have any good recipe, crock pot recipes or anything?
I have a whole like cookbook of crock pot recipes, but I don't do them very often, and a lot of times I feel like things get, especially if you're gonna leave it for like 8 to 10 hours, which some recipes say that's you know, you can find and good. My crock pot seems to cook things really fast even on low, so it's like they get kind of overdone then.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes there's not a lot of flavor when they're cooking that long, like
yeah.
Even if you season it at the beginning. So,
and some crock pot recipes drive me nuts because they'll have you do like all this work before, like, you know, brown the meat on, in a pan and you saute the vegetables. I was like, why would I do that?
I know.
The crock pot's going to do the work for me.
I felt like a hero because I cut up some celery and onions early this morning and put it in there. Like,
yeah.
I felt like, wow, I really did a lot this morning.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. We heard back from Dana. She said the book, she's talking about Pope Joan is based on facts that lead some folks to believe we had a female pope at one time.
So, all right.
Good to hear.
The KAXE News team has put together a list of food-related resources across northern Minnesota. You'll find hours of operation and locations of food shelves, along with information on soup kitchens and community meals. It's actually, you can sort that by county to make it easy for you. It's at kaxe.org. If you have something to add to that list, you can email news@kaxe.org.
Going on tomorrow, the next Bemidji Contra Dance is at Susie and Hondo Dance Studio. There'll be a potluck beginning at 5:30, dancing at 6:30. No experience or partners are needed. Everything will be taught by a caller while you dance to live music from the O'Neill Family Band.
Tuesday is Veterans Day, so lots going on for that. Everyone is invited to the a Northern Lights Community School in Warba. They have a program 1 p.m. on Tuesday, and Vietnam veteran and KAXE volunteer Dennis Jerome will speak about his experiences.
Coming up next, more local news, and then we're going to need you to join us this morning. We're looking for a member to call in for What's for Breakfast. I think last week we did have the reservation. Someone texted early. So if you know you want to be on, you can text us now, 218-326-1234.
Marshall Helmberger is publisher of the Timberjay newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. He joins us now for the Border News Roundup. Good morning, Marshall.
Well, good morning, Jennifer.
Let's start off with a measure that was introduced in the U.S. Senate. It is also backed by U.S. Representative Pete Stauber. It would allow changes to federal lands 100 miles within either the northern or southern border, which would include the boundary waters.
Right. Yep. It's called the Borderlands Conservation Act, although some folks have questioned that title, given that it actually could cause a fair amount of damage in some federal areas, especially wilderness areas, which are along, you know, the border. And there are wilderness areas along the southern border. But, of course, here in Minnesota, we'd be dealing with places like the Boundary Waters and also Voyageurs National Park. And this bill would essentially repeal parts of the 1964 Wilderness Act for the purposes of border control. And this would give the Department of Homeland Security the authority to build roads, border fences, observation posts, communications facilities. They'd be able to fly and land aircraft on any federal lands located within 100 miles of the border. So this would encompass all of the boundary waters, all of Voyageurs National Park, pretty much all of the Superior National Forest, and probably good portions of the Chippewa National Forest as well. So this, you know, could have a significant impact in Minnesota if this were actually to become law. I mean, I would say at this point, it's probably not likely. I don't think this would get through the Senate, this, you know, unless it was attached to some sort of must-pass funding bill. I know both of Minnesota's two senators, Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith, are opposed to this measure. And environmental groups and conservation groups as well have, you know, indicated that it's not something they would support. In fact, they're adamantly against this. And the bill was introduced in the Senate by Mike Lee, who's from Utah, and he said that the measure is needed to protect federal lands from being overrun by undocumented immigrants. Now, you know, there are issues on the southern border. You know, he indicated that there are areas where there's a large amount of trash that's left on federal lands. And he said wildfires from abandoned campfires can sometimes, you know, spread and get out of control. And that's really focused on the southern border. I did contact Pete Stauber's office and asked them if they had any examples of trash, wildfires, or any other damage to federal lands that were caused by undocumented immigrants in northern Minnesota. But as usual, his office did not respond. We've also requested data from the U.S. Forest Service on the number of reported instances, and at this point, they have not been able to respond to that request. But I'm going to continue pressing for some of this information because I'm curious now to see whether there's really any incursions. I mean, the idea seems kind of preposterous, you know, that somebody's going to try crossing the border, you know, starting most likely in the Quetico, because you know, there's not like there's a road that goes close to the border there. You'd have to start there and commute a long distance. You'd have to know what you were doing, and most immigrants, I don't think, are going to do that. So, I mean, the idea of this, you know, is I think would be disturbing to a lot of folks who like the boundary waters. This could have a big impact, especially for folks who travel along some of those big border lakes, and that's some of the most scenic country in the entire boundary waters.
Well, I'm sure you will keep us posted on that. Up next, there have been signs of avian flu in the area. What do we know about that?
Well, we know that there have been documented cases now on Net Lake. The Boy Sport DNR has done some testing on some dead waterfowl that they found, and they've confirmed that those are avian flu victims. I also spoke with DNR veterinarian Mary Wood this week, and she indicated that the virus activity was fairly low throughout the summer, but they've seen an increase in the number of incidences of avian flu here in recent weeks. And I guess it tends to come on more in the fall, and like human flu. But I know I've had reports from a number of people who've been reported seeing, you know, dead waterfowl, including trumpeter swans, at least two trumpeter swans that I've heard of recently, both juveniles, and also, you know, Canada geese and ducks as well, like mallards. So, you know, this is something that right now appears to be mostly limited to waterfowl. But, you know, this can also spread into other types of, you know, wild birds. And of course, you know, it can also spread to, you know, domestic fowl as well. And that's been a huge issue. So this is a continuing problem. And I suspect we're going to be seeing it kind of rise and fall. And hopefully it won't become, you know, a really devastating disease for a lot of our waterfowl.
Yeah. Do you know if there's any measures being looked at to help prevent the spread of this, or are we just kind of letting it go right now?
I think it
would
be pretty difficult.
Yeah. Okay, well, the firearm deer season opens on Saturday. What can we expect?
Well, it probably depends a little bit on where you're sitting and where you're planning to hunt. You know, I know in our neck of the woods up here in kind of northern St. Louis County, northern Lake County, the deer populations, according to DNR wildlife officials, are still pretty low. We're limited to bucks only here. You know, I think folks are going to have they're going to have to work to get their deer this year, no doubt about it. I think as you move further west and south of our area, the hunting probably gets quite a bit better. You know, we've had two very mild winters, and that's helped. And I actually expect to see the deer registrations increase a little bit, even up in our area, I think, you know, thanks to those two mild winters. So I think we're going to have better survival. I think what the other thing you're going to probably see is there should be an increase in kind of the younger bucks, like spike bucks and forkhorns. You know, a lot of those would have been born in the spring of 2024 after that very mild winter. They should have had, you know, pretty good survival. And then, you know, going into another mild winter, they should be in pretty good shape. I think there should have been good survival of them. And so that should give hunters hopefully an opportunity, you know, to take kind of these smaller bucks at this point. You know, and I think all across the landscape, I'm hearing that people are seeing more deer, even up in our area. And that's certainly been something I have observed, I would say, in the last couple of weeks. It seems like the deer are really moving around, and we're seeing a lot more of them along the roadsides and whatnot up here. So I think there are more deer out there. The problem that hunters will face, at least this year still, is that most of them won't be legal targets because, like I said, they're limited to bucks only. So. But I think the good news is if this weather continues, you know, we should see in future years an improving deer population up here. And I should mention, because especially as you get more over towards the Grand Rapids area, there is some, you know, mandatory CWD testing. And so folks are going to want to pay attention to that. And it varies by deer permit area. You know, there will be some mandatory testing over that way. And then also anybody who wants to have their deer tested can contact the DNR for opportunities to do that. At least opening weekend, there's going to be quite a focus on voluntary testing, because the DNR is definitely trying to, you know, get a handle on this situation and figure out, you know, where it's at. I mean, it's definitely a concern to deer hunters.
Yeah, for sure. So the best thing people can do is just make sure they know what the regulations are, where they're hunting, and what's required of them if they do get a deer.
Exactly. And the other thing is, spending time out on the deer stand is the best way to increase your odds. And especially now we have, we're kind of coming off a full moon, which means, you know, for the opening weekend, there's still going to be a lot of overnight light out there in the woods. And that means a lot of times midday is one of the best times to hunt. And a lot of deer hunters tend to go in for lunch and to warm up a little bit and then, you know, maybe come out later in the afternoon. I've found over the years that my best hunting success happens around 11 a.m. A lot of times I don't even get out there very early because it seems like deer get active around the middle part of the day when most hunters are having lunch.
That is Marshall Helmberger, publisher of the Timberjay newspaper. Find more at timberjay.com. Thanks so much for your time this morning, Marshall.
You bet, Jennifer. Take care.
Yep, you too.
You'll hear more local news coming up in an hour with the Up North Report. And check out local news at our website at kaxe.org. It is 7:31. It's the Friday morning show.
Coming up at around 7:45, we'll have What's for Breakfast. If you want to join us, you can text in 218-326-1234, and then we don't have to grovel for a phone call.
And here's the thing. It's usually John Bauer, so this is a treat. You get to talk to Jennifer Barr on What's for Breakfast.
Well, thank you. And, of course, Heidi Holton. So
it should be fun. We hope that you're joining us, whether you are maybe getting ready for deer camp. Maybe you're already up and you're, you know, getting things set up at the deer shack and
maybe
all that
you're
kind of thing.
A vendor at a craft sale.
Huh, there you go. I talked to someone yesterday who said it's a woman who goes with three guys, like a long-standing tradition, and she assigns something to listen to, like in that first hour where
okay.
It's too dark to but you get up in the stand, something to listen to so then they can have text chains going while they're each in different stands and stuff. And this year, she has assigned them Season Watch podcasts.
Wonderful.
I know. It's funny. That is live right now, this week's Season Watch podcast. And it is about hunting because it's about the shrike and hunting and also deer hunting a little bit and all kinds of crazy stories that you're going to hear there, including, you know, John, a rehash of the story John told on Tuesday of John rooting around in a dead chipmunk's mouth. Like, oh my gosh, John, of course.
I was seeing the text come in on that. Everyone was remembering it was 92 sunflower seeds.
I know, because I mistakenly said acorn, because of course you can't have 92 acorns in a mouth. But and then when we listened to it again and put it in the podcast, it's actually 93, but I said 92, so that's why. But I loved that people had heard that 2 days before, enough to correct me. I'll take that all day long. That's great. You can text us anytime, 218-326-1234.
Support comes from Minnesota Power, an elite company envisioning a carbon-free future through their Energy Forward strategy. More at mmpower.com/energyforward.
Headwaters Music and Arts in Bemidji hosts their monthly open mic and coffee house tonight from 7 to 9 o'clock. Come early to sign up. Featuring Not Your Average Family Band tonight. And we'll be talking in about an hour with the events going on in downtown Grand Rapids. What's happening in your town? Tell us, 218-326-1234.
We do have a chance of some light rain or flurries early this morning. Cloudy today, highs 35 to 40, winds from the north 5 to 10, up to 20 miles per hour. And tonight, mostly cloudy, lows 16 to 24. And tomorrow, partly sunny, highs 30 to 34. North winds 5 to 15, lows tomorrow night, mid to upper teens, and for Sunday, partly sunny, highs in the low 30s.
It's time for best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary for today, November 7th. We wish Candace Perry a very happy birthday from Bovee. Doug Jesperson is 19 today. Happy day to you, Doug. Ben Ingerbritsen. That's good enough, right? 14 from Baxter. Hey, Ben, happy birthday to you. And Henry Mills is 8 today from Bloomington.
Tomorrow is November 8th. Max Helmberger, Dr. Max Helmberger, turning 31 tomorrow. Sam McMullen, happy birthday to you. And Katie Koski, 27 tomorrow. Our best wishes to you all. If you have birthday or anniversary greetings to share, you can always text us 218-326-1234.
Jennifer, I was telling you I was catching up on some Austin City Limits and some of the performers, and there's so many good performances. You know, Warren Treaty and Jelly Roll, but John Batiste just took it for me. It was just amazing. He was performing from his new album and his old album, and I just have been singing it since I watched it last night. So we're going to hear a listen from his earlier album. This is Happy Birthday and Happy Anniversary to You All from John Batiste.
From afar, on days when it's hard, and always Lana knows how to say, and soothe the soul from summer to fall, and always joy. She won't let it go, oh no.
We are never alone. We are the leader. We are the leader. We are the leader. We are the leader. they say Salisbury was.
Jean-Baptiste, we are registered from Maureen, who said, if you watch the Jean-Baptiste YouTube where he hears Green Day for the first time. I have not.
Oh.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Wow.
What a great way to keep our Friday going. Kind of gray skies out there. There's some wind. We're getting ready for deer hunting season, kind of our in-between. Winter's not quite here yet, but it's getting chilly. Thanks for tuning in to KEXE, where you get to hear the voices, the people of northern Minnesota, like what's coming up. We have high hopes for what's for breakfast. Someone's going to call in to 218-326-1234.
Support comes from Hug Hydronics, committed to making in-floor heating simple, providing in-floor heating solutions for both commercial and residential. More information at hughydronics.com.
And thanks also to Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids. They provide personalized care in a home setting. More information at oakhillseniors.com. We've got coming up today our volunteer lineup at 1 o'clock. It is On the River. Gina the Knife is in. And tonight at 7 o'clock, DJ Ben Franklinstein. Should be a great day and evening of music. So stay tuned. Keep us with you as you go about your day.
Support comes from Lake Country Journal, a lifestyle magazine since 1997, a local publication sharing stories from the heart of Minnesota about the places to go, things to do, and people to know in Lake Country, lakecountryjournal.com.
Crossing Arts Alliance has their Sweet Life poetry reading tomorrow, 1 to 3, at Central Lakes College Library in Brainerd. The winners from Lake Country Journal's poetry contest will read their poems along with several other entrants. Light refreshments will be served.
The classic movie series continues at the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork on Thursday, November 13th. This month's film is Rio Bravo, starring John Wayne, Dean Martin, and Ricky Nelson. It starts at 6:30.
You know, we were talking about that's a weird mix, right?
Yeah.
Of actors there. But now that I think about it, I think I've seen this.
Okay.
Because it is interesting to see Dean Martin, because he was, I think he was an actor. He was in a lot of things.
He was.
But you think of him more as just more of a loungy Vegas guy.
Yeah, and not, you know? I'm guessing this is kind of a Western film.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, him and then Ricky Nelson.
You love Ricky Nelson.
I love Ricky
just
Nelson.
Like my mother.
I think why I enjoy Ricky Nelson is he sings the song Hello Mary Lou. Mm-hmm. And my dad used to sing that to me, Hello Jennifer Sue.
Oh.
And so it's got a little, you know.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, you saw one of the new ones out there.
I did. I saw Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere.
Okay. Thoughts?
I liked it. At times, it's felt a little like there's some flashback scenes that are like they're black and white when he's a little kid and dealing with his dad. And
And
some of that was a little like, so there's a song on the Nebraska album called Mansion on the Hill. And there's like this flashback with, they don't really explain why they're there, but he and his dad like drops him and his sister off and they're like running through this cornfield through a mansion on a hill. And it just felt like I was a little confused.
Okay.
Like it felt like very like overtly, like this is where he's getting the idea for the song.
Okay.
You know, it was
okay.
But I liked it. It's focusing in just kind of on the period of him writing songs for Nebraska, which actually a lot of those songs he was writing ended up on Born in the USA.
Oh, okay.
And how, you know, the studio was kind of pressuring him to do this rock and roll album, and he really wanted this quiet album and kind of haunting and didn't want to promote it, didn't want to tour for it. He needed, you know, he's going through some mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. And Jeremy Allen White plays Bruce Springsteen and does a great job. And Jeremy Strong is John Lando, his manager.
So Jeremy Allen White is singing. He's not lip syncing Bruce Springsteen.
No, I did read that, and for some of the songs they like mixed it in with Bruce's voice.
Oh, sure.
Some of them, but not everything.
Yeah. So the what you were describing, the black and white of the mansion thing, mm-hmm. that is actually Bruce Springsteen's, or they were recreating that, do you think?
Well, it's like, it wasn't where they lived. It was just like...
But it was like his family videos or family movies?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
But it was you know, shot in black and white. And,
sure.
His dad was an alcoholic, abusive. So he's kind of reckoning with that. And
mm-hmm. Well, let us know if you've seen it. Maybe you've seen the movie that's showing next week, Rio Bravo at the Edge Center for the Arts, or maybe something new. You can text 218-326-1234. Coming up next, it is our daily dose of phonology. I was just thinking, as you're talking about Springsteen, the MN90, Minnesota History in 90 Seconds today was about the filming of Dancing in the Dark video
yes.
in Minneapolis or St. Paul.
St. Paul Civic Center,
yeah.
which no longer exists.
And Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah, dancing. So that was kind of fun because I was, you know, it's really early in the morning that we hear that. And I was like, this is not. Sometimes it's barely about Minnesota. So it's just like, and then I went, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that was a seminal video on mm-hmm. the early days of MTV.
Yes,
for sure,
and so. A kind of a break for Courtney Cox. I mm-hmm. mean, she had maybe been on Family Ties by that point.
I don't think yet. I think
Yeah.
Huh. Coming up, we're going to get a little dose of nature.
On today's date, November 7th, 2001, the pine grosbeaks return to northern Minnesota. Usually about this time of year, the beautiful red male pine grosbeaks and their partners, the female pine grosbeaks that are mostly gray with a little touch of orange on the rump and maybe the back of the head, return to northern Minnesota to enjoy the balmy Minnesota weather as they await spring and their return trip to the north. These birds are among my favorites when it comes to wintertime birds because they come readily to the feeder, though they prefer a feeder without a cover. If your feeder has a roof on it, try putting seeds on the ground or try putting seeds on a flat board somewhere, and you'll find that the pine grosbeaks are much more readily adapted to that. For some reason, they don't like a roof over their heads. They are beautiful, and they have a beautiful, clear, melodic song that they sing in the wintertime, so they are most welcome as we dive into our cold season.
That's our daily dose of phonology. Don't forget the new podcast, Season Watch Podcast, is available on the podcast platforms that you are used to, like Spotify and Apple, but it's also on our website, kexe.org. And guess what? It's on the air. It'll be on tomorrow, too, at 1:30 and on Sunday at 10:30 here on KEXE. You know, you've got student reports. We got a listener comment from last week. It's a lot of fun. Charlie Mitchell bringing so much knowledge that she has to
and joy.
Yes, and it's really, you get more. I mean, I'm not like, this is not like a, because this is how we describe it. I do get more and more curious every time we talk about it. 'Cause she was, one of the things she's talking about is, we're talking about gut piles, as you do, right? Mm-hmm. And that they have been studying them long enough that the animals or birds or whatever come in different shifts.
Okay.
To the gut pile at different times. But it's like kind of, they can...
Like within a day or within like the time of...
The gut pile's there. But it's like first will be the crows in this, and then this will be this.
Because as it decays,
sure different... Yeah, and so maybe they want different things
from it.
Or it's timing. You don't know. That's
yeah.
the thing. So anyway, if you want to know about gut piles, tune into the Seeds Watch podcast, or awful, it's
uh-huh.
called.
Which is...
Apt word.
Yeah, it's not spelled like the word, you know, it's a homophone, where it sounds the same,
yep.
you know, but
O-F-F.
It's spelled differently.
Yeah, O-F-F-A-L.
It's such a fitting word, I think, in my opinion.
It's almost, is it onomatopoeia? I mean, I know it's not like bang, but it is
where it
when
describes,
a word sounds like what it is.
I
does
guess.
That make sense?
Yeah,
it is in a weird way.
Yeah.
But I think that means more of like the, you know, bam, or that mm-hmm. kind of stuff a little bit more. So anyway, yeah. Hey, we need to have some breakfast. It is the most important meal of the day, and that means we need to hear from you. When you hear the theme song, give us a call, 218-326-1234. Can't wait to talk to you.
It don't matter if you're tall. It don't matter if you're small. It don't matter if you're blue or green or any shape at all. 'Cause I'll be yours and you'll be mine to last. And we'll be friends holding fast. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to play a part. What better thing could ever be than a kindly heart? And I'll have yours, and you have mine to last. We'll be friends, holding fast. Talk all day, I listen.
Really, we will listen. We want to hear from you. We're looking for a member. What do they need to do?
Call 218-326-1234. If you're not yet a member, you can always become one today.
That's right. And join us on What's for Breakfast.
Exactly what friends can be. We'll be light as balloons, cows jumping over the moon.
Old wrinkles start to twinkle when they hear our tune.
And all the while we can only smile, 'cause we'll be friends coming back in style.
All right, we're getting close to the end. We need you to call in What's for Breakfast on the Friday morning show. It's a lot of fun. Get to know you a little bit better. Maybe we're going to find out what snacks you're bringing to the arts fairs or the deer stand. Oh, no, you wouldn't bring food to the deer stand, but to the hunting shack.
Oh.
Well, they would smell it is part of the thing, right? It's about, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. But wear orange. I mean, we want to remind you to do that.
218-326-1234.
We sing our song. Everyone will sing along, 'cause we'll be friends and they will see exactly what friends can be. We'll be light as balloons, cows jumping over the moon.
Old wrinkles start to twinkle when they hear our tune.
And all the while
we're looking for you to join us on What's for Breakfast. Otherwise, Jennifer and I are going to talk about breakfast a little bit here. We'd love to hear from you. 218-326-1234. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we bring you the sports page. Should be a lot of fun. And, of course, the trivia coming in from our senior correspondent.
Yeah, and coming up before 9 o'clock, we're going to talk with Katie Marshall from the McCroskey Arts Center, learning about all the events happening tonight for First Friday in Grand Rapids.
So Jennifer, okay, let's say we're at a restaurant. It's got kind of every breakfast you could imagine on the menu. What would you want?
Something with hash browns for sure.
And you like them crispy?
Yeah.
Do you ask for crispy? Or?
I just assume and hope they're going to be crispy. I don't really get specific with my, if unless they ask me a question, I don't.
Right.
Ask for things.
Please make them extra crispy. I can't imagine that coming from you.
I'm a fan of Eggs Benedict mm-hmm. at a restaurant because it's something I would never ever make for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like a runny egg yolk, and I love Hollandaise sauce.
Wow. We've known each other only 19 years and I did not know this about you.
Yeah.
I also love an Eggs Benny.
Yeah.
We got someone calling.
Okay. Good.
Hi, are you calling for What's for Breakfast?
Yeah, this is Kevin. I thought I'd call in.
Oh, thank you.
You don't want us to talk about Eggs Benedict anymore?
That was okay. That was okay.
Oh, boy. I heard a tone there. Okay, so, Kevin, have you had your breakfast yet?
No, and I think the reason people are calling in, I'm representative of people right now. You know, I'm trying to get dressed. I have an 8 o'clock, and I'm still getting dressed, and I haven't had breakfast.
Sure.
So dreaming of breakfast.
Oh,
yeah.
You have an 8 o'clock appointment?
Yeah, in six minutes.
So oh, my gosh.
I got to get ready.
And you're not even dressed?
Yeah. No, I'm on speaker. I'm getting dressed. I'm thinking after the meeting, I'll have oatmeal.
Oh, okay.
So it's a short meeting. It's not an all-day affair here?
No, quick meeting.
Okay.
But I'll get a break, and then I'll have oatmeal.
Well,
love oatmeal.
Yeah, well, you know, John's not here, but we have to, you know, do his job.
Yeah. So what are you putting on this oatmeal? How do you cook it?
What kind of milk?
Yep. Instant oatmeal, skim milk, but I always put about a third cup of raspberries and blueberries on it. Mm. That's the good part. Yeah.
Nice. In the microwave?
Yes, microwave.
Nice.
Yes.
And now do you have to go into an office, or is this meeting remote?
It is remote.
Okay. Yeah. That makes me feel better. I was getting a little stressed out for you.
Yeah. So you could be business on top and pajama bottoms on bottom if you needed to.
Do you know what? I just grabbed sweatpants and I have a dress shirt on. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. All right. So have you had coffee yet?
Oh yeah. Gotta have coffee. And Katie and I was, that, you know, so it is made when I go downstairs to get it.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Now I have a weird thing with that. Like, I would love that the coffee would be made for me. But on the other hand, I love the tradition of making the coffee. Like, that's my, like, especially for when I work on I'm on the morning show. I love coming in and making the coffee for some reason. Like,
it's like a ritual.
Yep. It's something.
Yeah.
So, and I love the smell of, you know, when you grind beans and stuff. And so I feel like if I ground it the night before, I wouldn't get the smell, you know, kind of a purist that way. So we're not talking like a pod situation for a coffee for you guys.
No, it's grounds. Okay. Yeah. Grounds. Yeah. Yes.
So are you going hunting this weekend?
I'm not going hunting. Yes. Yes.
Have you ever hunted, deer hunted?
No. Quick story about that. When I was in eighth grade, moved to Grand Rapids from the cities. At the time, total cities people. And I landed in this home ec class, and they went around and asked every boy what gun they had.
Oh, no.
Because we made gun cases. And they got to me, and I just said, "Are you serious?" Was not familiar yet with Northern Minnesota. So the teacher had me make a denim vest. Yeah.
Do you still have it?
You can imagine.
Please, you have it.
No.
Oh.
No, I don't have it.
Did you wear it?
No. You could, even just the fact of being told you're going to make a denim vest and then having to make it is not a formula for popularity.
Well, it have snaps.
Snaps and orange thread was put together with orange thread. Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, the boys making the gun cases would definitely mock you if you showed up in that denim vest. So I get it.
Totally.
Yeah.
What did the girls make?
Something for the kitchen.
Okay.
You know, some kind of.
Yeah.
So I was the only one making the denim vest. Yeah. Actually, now, you know, what, 40 years later, I'm actually more horrified now. Sometimes things are less horrifying as you get older. But now that we've been up north for a long time and know the culture, that's not cool. Yeah. Not cool, but yeah.
So I know we got to get you to your meeting, but I just want to say one thing. So Kevin has volunteered with us and helped us out with the retreat we had recently. Do you have like a sentence to describe the crew of folks working here at KEXE or that day? Or
Oh, well, as you know, at the end of retreats, and I'll do this with the CAGSI staff, I have people just say one word to describe the day. And my one word for the KXE team is amazing. Mm. Absolutely amazing team. I mean, what you do every day across the airwaves is just so special and just means so much to wake up. And even today now, 1 minute away from a meeting, I'm thinking about after the meeting, I can turn KXE back on and make my oatmeal.
Oh. So,